Bible tonight and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 13. Hebrews chapter number 13, and a great chapter in the Bible, speaking of the Lord and what He does for us. Of course, the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, and it was his 14th epistle that he penned at the hand of God. And so Hebrews 13, and if you'll look in verse number 1, we'll start there. And notice what it says. It says, "Let brotherly love continue, and be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as you're being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Now we're going to take our text out of verse number 5 there, and verse number 6. But verse number 6 in particular, where he says, "The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper." And that's what I'm going to preach on tonight. The Lord is my helper. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word tonight. And I'm glad that we have a helper in this world. Sometimes we feel so all alone, and sometimes we feel like we have nowhere to turn and no one to turn to. But God, as a child of God, as a Christian, we always have somebody to turn to, because you're always there. You said you'd never leave us or forsake us. You're always with us. You're always present. And if it's standing in the shadows, Lord, if it's standing off somewhere, you're still there. You're always there. And yet you live within us. And Lord, I'm thankful that you do tonight. And I pray that that would bring comfort and grace and help as we go through life and the situations of life, that you might guide us in our steps. And Father, may our comfort and may our hope come from within us. And may it come from you. And Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, tonight I'm going to preach on this thought, the Lord is my helper. Now, Solomon wrote about friendship, and he wrote about friends and that kind of thing. And this is what he said in Ecclesiastes 4. He said, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift him up, lift up his fellow. But woe to that man, to him that is alone, when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him, or help him up. And again, if two lie together, they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken." You know, as a Christian, we are never alone. And we need God's help. Truth is, all of us need God's help. And the moment you think you don't need any help, you find out in a hurry you need God's help. And you know, when you think of the Lone Ranger, you think of Superman and Spider-Man and Batman and Green Lantern. They may not need anybody's help, right? But they're not real. They're not real. And so we are real, and thank God, God is real. And thank God we have someone to help us. Now you say, why did you read that verse in Ecclesiastes where it says that if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken? Because we have the great three in one tonight. Hallelujah. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we have something to help us that is greater than anything that the world has to offer. And that's the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. If you read over there in 1 John 5:7, we don't have to turn there. The Bible said there are three that bear record. I just forgot how the verse went here. Let me look on over there. 1 John 5 and in verse 7. And I was going to say there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And again, we know that's true. They're one, and yet they're three. And thank God that they're there. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Psalms 121, verse 1 and 2 says, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee shall not slumber." As Paul writes this book of Hebrews, again, it's from his prison experience. It's from being deserted by all of his friends. When he writes 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and chapter number 4, and he says, "At my first answer, no man was stood with me, and all forsook me." Paul knew what it was to be forsaken, but he said, "Nevertheless, the Lord stood with me." And thank God, when you have Jesus Christ, your Savior, you are never alone. because he is with us. And that's the thing that Paul, as he writes his epistles from the lonely jail cell, and from knowing that he's going to the chopping block, and knowing that he's going to give his life for his faith in Jesus Christ, that even though he felt alone, and even though physically he was alone, spiritually he was never alone, and he could give us these promises that we claim today. So he said that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, and I shall not fear what man shall do unto me." Paul wrote that out of experience. He stood before Nero. He was condemned to death. He was waiting for the executioner, and Paul was not afraid of what was coming on him. He said, when he writes 2 Timothy, he says the time my departure, I'm now ready to be offered, and the time my departure is in hand. He knew that he was going to die. He was ready to die. He was prepared to die because God was still there with him. He was with him. Now, when we're going through the situations of life, and Lord knows we go through the situations of life, thank God that God is always there. And though sometimes we think God is so, does it seem sometimes that God is so far away? It does. Sometimes it seems that God is so far away. But the Bible makes it very clear that his position when it comes to you and I as a child of God. Will you look with me in Psalms 46? David wrote the Psalms, and he, again, most of the Psalms are written out of his experience and written out of what he had to go through in his life as he fled from King Saul. Psalms 46, and notice what it says. God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. His confidence was that the Lord is there. And the Bible says he's a very present help in the time of trouble. First thing I want to look at tonight is the Lord is a present help. He's there. Thank God. We can call, we can cry, and when we do, guess what? God is going to be there. Jeremiah 33:3, the first time I read my Bible through and I read that verse, I marked it and I underlined it, and it says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." You know, we can get on the line to heaven, and God says he's always going to be there. You know, I'm glad we don't have the hope that the world has. You know, they get on the line and they don't know if anybody's there. Anybody up there? Hey, we know God is up there. We know he's going to answer the phone. There's no busy signal when you call the line of heaven, amen? And when we call heaven, hey, he answers us. The Bible says, "Call unto me and I will answer thee." We don't get an answering machine when we call to heaven. We get a direct line. It's like you can call Donald Trump on his cell phone and they say he answers it. You know, hats off to him. Kudos to him, because that's a good thing, right? And we should, thank God that God is approachable. And we'll say some more about that as we go, but we can call and we can cry out the Lord. He's going to be there. Thank God that he's close. You know, sometimes it seems like, well, God's so far away, but the Bible says he's close. Jeremiah 23:23 said, "Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off?" Hey, he's there. Thank God we can reach out and touch the Lord. Now we know he lives inside of us. Amen. Theologically, we know he lives inside of us. But we know his presence fills heaven and earth. And God is always there. And thank God he is. You say, why is that important? Because he's a present help when we go through the trials. Are we going to go through trials? We are absolutely going to go through trials. There are trials. And we go through trials, and nobody's exempt from that. I wish we had a personal exemption from trials. But we do not have a personal exemption. But we know that God's there. We look in 1 Peter chapter 3. And when Peter writes, again, he also writes out of his affliction. Peter died for his faith in Jesus Christ. And they say, of course, he was crucified. And they say he was crucified upside down. But nonetheless, he died for his faith. And he wrote about trials, and he writes about difficulties, and this is what he says in 1 Peter 3 and in verse 8. He says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." Now, again, if you've ever been through the fire, you know how important that is when you're going through things, for people to be pitiful and people to be courteous. The last thing you want to do when you're having trouble is have someone come along and say, "Yeah, you're getting what you deserved." How does that ever make anybody feel good? And it might be true they're getting what they deserve, but how does that help them? You know, I've never been helped by anybody that said, yeah, you're getting what you deserved. That didn't make me feel the least bit better. You can understand why Job said, miserable comforters are ye all, to his three friends. We don't need, friendship is not about, hey, we don't need friends like that. You know, and Job's friends were accusing him falsely, but even if they hadn't been, is that what Job needed to hear at that moment? How have you made me feel better? Job said, how have you assuaged my grief? How have you helped me by all of your accusations? Again, how does that help anyone? It doesn't. So Peter goes on to say this. He says, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called and that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil, hate evil, and do good, and let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Notice what it says, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against all them that do evil. Now, aren't you glad that the Lord's ears are open to our prayers? Doesn't that make Jeremiah 33 more real? Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Now, you heard what Brother Randy said the other day, the four answers to prayers, and I thought that was hilarious. You know, yes, no, wait, and then you got to be kidding. I thought that were great. But the fact of the matter is, whether it's no, yes, no, or wait, you got to be kidding. God heard us. Amen. That's the important thing. You ever ask your parents something, they just look at you? Just because they're looking at you and didn't say nothing didn't mean they didn't hear you. Sometimes you're just thinking about what they're going to say. You know, my kids will ask things sometimes, and I just don't know what to tell them. And I'm just thinking, sitting there, should I say yes? Should I say no? Should I slap them? I mean, what should you do? You don't know what to do, right? People ask you things. Some things are so outlandish. I mean, I've asked my father things, and as soon as I asked him, I got done asking, he slapped me. And said, who do you think you are to ask me that? You know, and I thought, I was just asking you a question. Aren't you glad that God doesn't slap us when we ask him? I mean, you know, he wants to hear. I mean, he may say you got to be kidding, but he ain't going to slap us. But the fact is the matter is that he hears. And sometimes we feel like, don't you feel like sometimes the heavens are brass and you're not getting anywhere? You're praying and you're praying and you're praying. You just feel like nothing's happening. But because nothing's happening does not mean that God is not hearing. God is hearing. Did God hear Job's prayers from the beginning? Well, of course he heard Job's prayers from the beginning. But it wasn't time to give Job the answer. It wasn't time to let him know. When Daniel was praying and for a full month, praying, asking God, and God was hearing, but God wasn't the answer wasn't getting to Daniel. And Daniel continued to pray. He said, are you up there? Lord, are you there? Are you there? Well, of course he's there. And he's there when we're going through these trials. He's there. Notice what it says in the next verse. He says, who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well doing than for evil doing. And again, Christ is there. And yeah, we may go through some trials, and we're going to go through some trials. But praise the Lord's always going to be there. He carries us through the trials. And again, we've made mention of that footprints in the sand and all that kind of thing. I mean, and every time I see that in the thrift store, I feel emotional every time I see that. Because I'm always reminded, it makes me think of all the hard difficulties I've been through in my life and the fact that God was always there at my side when I was going through them. I don't know about you, that means something to me. It does. And we go through the trials, he's a present help. We go through the testings. Do we go through testing in life? We absolutely do. If you'll look over there in the Gospel of Luke, and I'm glad that Christ, that he wrote these things so that we could, you know that he's there. There's nothing worse than wondering if someone's going to be there. if somebody's got your back, if someone's actually going to be there when you need them. And God is always going to be there. And Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, he says, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? What's that mean? That he's there. He's hearing our prayers. And again, sometimes when we're going through these things of life, the Bible says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy, and he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Why? Because God's there. He's there in the trials. He's there in the testings. Brother Andrew's got this thing going on in his life where his bones are failing in his body, and it's a crippling disease. Does that mean God's not there? God's there. Amen. And what's he going to do? He's going to take you through the trials. He's going to take you through the testings of life. I mean, we have all kind of folks going through different situations of life and things that are out of their control. You know, sometimes you can be doing everything right, and I mean everything right, and everything go to ashes around you. Does that mean that God's not with you? Does that mean God's forsaken you? Well, of course not. It just reaffirms that God is real, and he's there, and he's going to take us through the fire. You know, no one wants to go through the fire. We want to go around the fire, right? I said, that's fire. I don't want to go through the fire. And God says, oh no, you have to go through the fire. He said, no, I really don't want to go through the fire. And the Lord says, oh yeah, but you really have to go through there. Well, he said, well, Lord, will you go with me? And the Lord said, of course I'll go with you. When the three Hebrew children were in the fire, did Jesus go with them? Amen. I mean, they went in the fire. And then they're all dancing around together. They're walking around the fire. And had God forsaken it? Then would they say, our God will deliver us. Right, and Nebuchadnezzar said, who is that God that can deliver you from me? But see, God's he's a present help, a very present help in trials, a very present help in testing, a very present help in temptation. I mean, do we go through things? There is no temptation taking you, but such as, again, I don't know why God wants me to keep quoting this verse, but obviously he does. There is no temptation taking you, but such as common to man. But God, who is faithful, will the temptation make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. You say, I'm going through things in life. Life is hard. Life is hard for everyone. And I don't know why God puts, broccoli and asparagus and lima beans on some people's plates, and Krispy Kreme donuts on other people's plates. If you got Krispy Kreme donuts on your plate, glory to God. But if you got asparagus and broccoli and lima beans, Now, if you like all those things, God bless you. I don't like none of them. Okay. I can name some nastier things, spinach and all this kind of stuff. But the bottom line is God puts things on our plate that are not very appetizing. But God puts them on your plate because obviously he's going to help you to be able to handle those things. Some people, all they can handle is a Krispy Kreme donut. That's a fact. I mean, that would be the end of the world if you put something else on their plate. And God doesn't give them anything. God will not let you be tempted above that you're able. That is God's promise. And if you're strong in faith and strong in the Lord, then God's going to allow things to happen in your life that he may not let happen in someone else's because they can't handle it. But obviously God has allowed it in your life. Brother Doug, Miss Ellie, can you imagine two of your children going to be the Lord while they're young like that? And as I told Brother Doug, I don't know why God put that on your plate, but he did put it on your plate. And he gave you grace to be able to endure it, and grace to be able to handle it, and grace to be able to go through it. Obviously, I couldn't handle that because he didn't put that on my plate. I think about other people, the things they go through, and and the things that happen to them. I mean, my goodness, Christian people, some of the things that have happened to Christian people, the trials and the hardships that they've been through and the loss that they've experienced. And I'm thinking, Lord, I've never had anything to speak of happen to me. Is it because I'm that weak that I can't handle it? Maybe so. But I know the Lord doesn't let you be tempted above that you're able. He makes a way to escape when you go through the temptation and through the trial. And that's why that promise in Hebrews where he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And then he said, hey, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Thank God he's our helper when we're going through these things. He's a present help. Can I say this tonight? He's a powerful help. Thank God, he's a powerful help. Psalm 62:11 says this, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. He's our protector. He's our provider. He's our advocate. He's our son. Thank God he's our shield tonight. When you think about that for a minute, what gave David his great confidence when he faced Goliath? You know, and we're going to face some giants in our life. We really are. We face some giants. Sometimes they come in the form of diseases like cancer. Sometimes they come in the form of financial disaster. Sometimes they come in the form of natural disaster. You look at people that have gone through some natural disasters up there, even up there in Gatlinburg, where they were burned out and they lost everything. I mean, they literally lost everything. My goodness, people go through, those are giants. The family situations with husbands and wives and children, when things go awry. What are those? Those are giants in our life. But you know, God helps us to face those things and to go through those difficulties when they arise, and they do arise. The thing is to go through those things holding Jesus' hand. If you're holding Jesus' hand, what's going to happen? You're going to come out on the other side okay because you're holding Jesus' hand. Praise the Lord for that. David said this in 1 Samuel. Then David said to the Philistine, thou comest me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day the Lord will deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. David said, this battle is the Lord's. Now, here's the problem. The moment you think it's your battle, that is when we get in trouble. We go through some battles of life, but you have to remember, it's not your battle. Are you big enough to fight with the devil? Are you big enough to handle some of the things that come in life that God sends your way? Are you big enough to handle those things? I'm not. I don't claim to be big enough. Hey, I'm not big enough to handle cancer. I'm not big enough to handle, you know, the things that happen in life, disasters and situations and murder and rape and all those different things. I'm not big enough to handle those things. But can I tell you who is? God is big enough to handle those things. How do people get through when these things happen to them in life? When they're abused and they're and things, bad, horrible, terrible things happen. How do they get through that? Well, we get through because God is our helper. We get through because we're strong in the power of His might. He's the one getting us through. You know, when a spouse dies, how do you get through that? It's God that helps you get through that. There's no way you can get through it without God's help. And He, that, you know, the power is the Lord's. And we're strong in the power of His might. We don't have enough strength to get through things on our own. Amen. You know, if I had to get through daily life on my own power and strength, we wouldn't make it. Because bottom line is, we're weak. We're frail. I mean, my goodness. And it's the Lord is our helper, the one helping us get through these things. I mean, I look at seniors and the things they have to go through in old age, and how do you get through old age? I'll tell you right now, with God's help is how you get through old age. Or you ain't going to get through it. You know, I look at these kids, how do they get through school and childhood? It's got to be with God's help. Because the world's a dangerous place in which we live today. How did Daniel get through? I mean, my goodness. He's down there with the lions. And Daniel said this, "My God have sent his angel and have shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me." How did Daniel get through? It was with God's help. How did they get through the Red Sea? Moses said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." You see, it was in the power of his might. Thank God he's a present help. He's a powerful help. God is there. Paul said this in Romans 1:16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone believeth." Thank God we have the power of God in our life. You know, many times as you go through life and you face these things, it's just to remind ourselves that we're not facing them alone. So many times that you just feel like you're all alone. But in Christ, we're never alone. You know, that's one of the great things with having a church family. In Christ, we're not alone. And when you have a church family, guess what? You're not alone. Can you imagine where you'd be today? I mean, really, I've gone through things in my life, but where would I be if we'd never had a church family? You know, if two are better than one and three is better than two, how much more a whole church family? Helping you and praying for you and caring for you and loving you and being there when you got a problem. The amount of times I've been able to call up a brother or sister and say, "Hey, you know, man, I got a real problem. Can you come over here and help me?" That's what church family is. Our church in Cincinnati, I'm telling you the truth, we had a close church family. And anyone in the church family could call up and say, "Hey, I got a problem. Can you come over and help me?" And generally speaking, what would happen is someone else would make a phone call and someone else would make a phone call and two or three or four people would come over and help. You say, why? Because that's what family does. You help one another. You know, and I think about these folks who don't have physical family, they don't have a church family, and they have no relationship with Jesus Christ. How in the world do they get along in life? You say, what happens to them? Oh, they're homeless. They're walking up down the street. They don't have a friend in the world. And I think to myself, how do people get in that condition? I was driving up the highway the other day, and the guy's sitting on his pack there on 75, and just out there all by his lonesome. And I'm thinking, boy, that is a hard place to be. Without a friend in the world. A guy from Volkswagen stopped by and got out of the car, ran back and gave him some money and put it in his hand. And that was nice, but did that help him get off the highway? Did that help him get off the highway? He's still on the highway in the middle of nowhere between exit 11 and exit 9. He's still on the highway. How did that help him? Now, if he'd have put him in his car and drove him up the next exit and gave him some money, that might have helped him. But I guarantee you, that few dollars he gave him, whatever it was, did not help him in his present situation. And boy, a person without Jesus Christ and a person without a church family and a person with, what do they do? Where do they turn? And they just don't have anything. But see, as a child of God, we have that. We have that threefold cord. We got the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We got the church family. We got the brothers and sisters in Christ. We have the help of all the family of God. I told Brian and I thought her name was Mia. Is it Mia or Maya, Brother Doug? It's Maya? It's Mia?
Mia, Maya.
Whatever. Mia, Maya. I was going to make a joke there. I better not. Anyway, but they came down. I had some prayer with them before they left today. And I said, you know, even though I don't know you people from Adams, and I don't, they called me up on the phone on Thursday and said, "Preacher, can we come down this weekend and talk to you?" I said, "Well, sure you can." I said, "I'll tell you what, you can stay in the mission apartment, you know, and I'll have somebody take you out for lunch on Sunday." Now, we've never met these people a day in our lives, never. Don't know them from Adams. And they came down seeking spiritual advice in their life. And I'm thinking, now my first thought was, why do you got to drive all the way to Chattanooga, Tennessee to get spiritual advice? That's my first thought. I thought, nobody lives next to you? Nobody lives near you that can give you good spiritual advice? That, you know, does that cross your mind? Am I thinking wrong here? I mean, would you really drive 6 hours to get spiritual advice? You'd think they could get spiritual advice where they lived, right? Well, for whatever reason, they couldn't. And so they came down and they said, you know, preacher, he said, we are so impressed with the church and the fact that you have a church family. Well, I said, that's what family does. We love one another. We help one another. When one grieves, we all grieve. When one has a problem, we all have a problem. When one's hurting, we're all hurting. When one's rejoicing, what? We're all rejoicing. But I thought to myself, you know, I said, listen, I said, we're in the body of Christ. There's a brotherhood of the saints. And we don't have to, do we have to, you know, live in each other's house to be family? No. You don't want to live at my house and I don't want to live at yours. But can we still be family? I mean, you got brothers and sisters, right? Do you move them all in your bedroom? No, you don't do that. You don't do that. You love them, but you don't necessarily want to, what? Live with them. But should we be family? We were up in Cincinnati, my sister Barb's house, and we got there at 3 a.m, and I got my keys out, and I opened the door and went in. And Gabriel said, you got a key to your sister's house? Well, I said, well, yeah, I got a key to my sister's house. We're a family. Right? I don't have to knock on the door when I go to Barb's house. I had a remote to their garage door until they got a new garage. I'd press the remote, door went up, and walk right in. They didn't even have to be home. You say, what is it? That's family. Now, thank God Barb's sane, and I'm sane, and we can trust each other, right? We got a key to Gail's house. You know, if we drive up to the Cincinnati in the middle of the night, we pull up at Gail's house, I know the key, the code to her electric door garage opener. We just press that little code and go right inside. Why? Because you're family. You're friends. Just like here at church. How many of you got a church key? Raise your hand. I mean, most everybody's got a church key, right? You say, why? Because we're family around here. Are we worried about all that kind of thing? Come and go as you please, right? But here's the thing. You know, is that not how family does one another? And when we're part of the family of God, there's a bond and there's a strength, and that's why it's so important. That's why I encourage people, be a part of the family of God. Hey, don't be someone standing in the corner. Be someone that's a part of it, right? and be a part. And the same thing with the Lord. And be a part of what the Lord's doing. Allow Him to be a part of your life so that, hey, we can say God's a present help, and thank God He's a powerful help in our life. And then He's a precious help in closing. I'm glad that He's there. I am so glad that He's there. You know, sometimes you don't even know what to do. And there's times people come and ask me for advice, and I really don't even know what to tell them. You don't? You know, you say, Brother Chris, you got the answer to everybody's problem? No, I really don't. I'd like to, I mean, when I was younger, I thought I had an answer to everybody's problem. That is the truth. When you're young, you think you got the answer to everybody's problem. You can tell everybody what to do. And then you realize how much bad advice you gave. And you realize, I really don't have the answer. Some of these problems are pretty complicated. But you know who does have the answer? God has the answer. Romans 8:26 says this, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession forth with groanings which cannot be uttered, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them are called according to his purpose. I can tell you right now, whatever you're going through, the Bible says, for if you love God, that is for your good. Amen. And according to his purpose. You say, Brother Chris, this thing is so horrible. It may be. But God is allowing you to go through it. And God's going to see you all the way through this storm. He's going to be there. That's a pressure. I mean, thank God he's going to be there. And when you don't know what to pray, Christ is praying for you. There's a number of families in this church. I pray for you every day. I mean, every day I pray for you. And the more problems some of us have, the more I pray for them every day. Now you say, Brother Chris, do you pray? Everything's going great in my life. I probably don't pray for you every day. Right? Because everything's going good in your life. But I'll tell you what, for those who got things going on in their life, I'm praying for you every day. I got some friends in Trinidad, we're praying for them every day. We got some members here that are not where they ought to be, and I'm praying for them every day. You say, why? Because, hey, they need some, they're not, they need somebody to be praying for them. The Bible says, bury one another's burdens, and therefore fulfill the law of Christ. We're fulfilling the law of Christ when we bear one another's burdens. And you pray for them every day. But you know what? More importantly, Jesus is praying for you every day. Jesus is praying for me every day. Sometimes I get on to pray and I say, Lord, I don't even know what to say. And the Lord says, shh, don't say anything. Just bow your head and get on your knees and just don't say anything. And let me do the praying for you today. I've gone through times in our life we were so heartbroken that tears, hot tears, fell from our eyes and we didn't know what to pray. And you're there at your bed, the tears are falling on the floor, and you're crying, and you don't even know what to say. It's, I knew God was praying for me. Amen. The Holy Spirit was praying for me. Amen. When making groanings which could not be uttered. And you say, what was God doing? He was working it out for His glory and for my good. Amen. You say, did you survive it? I'm here. I'm here. Are you going to survive it? If you're going through something, yeah, with God's help, you're going to survive it. Amen. I know you're thinking you don't know how, but I'm telling you what, God enables us to go through it. Thank God He is. The Bible says this, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. That's the groanings. The grace and the glory that the Bible speaks of. I want to read a verse in Psalms. Psalms 84, and let me get on over there. Psalms 84 and in verse number 11, the Bible says this, for the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory, and no good thing we withhold from them that walk uprightly. The Lord of hosts, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. The Lord's our sun and He's our shield. And it says, the Lord will give grace and glory. You say, what's the admonition? Keep trusting the Lord. The Bible says, therefore let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. God can give you that grace when you need it the most. When you need it the most. Paul, the Apostle Paul, when he prayed and asked God to remove that thorn in the flesh, God said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. He said, for when I am weak, then He is strong. You see, it's when you're holding on to Jesus' hand and He's taking you through. That's when you're strong. Because He's the one holding on to you. You know, it's kind of like the little kids sometime and they're your little grandkids or your own little children. And what are you doing? You're going somewhere and you're doing what? You're holding their hand. You're holding their hand. And as long as you got a hold of their hand, it's going to be all right. Sometimes they're kicking and screaming the whole way, right? But you're doing it for their good, right? You're doing it for their good. You know, sometimes, you know, sometimes that broccoli and that asparagus and them lima beans, they're for our good, right? You say, I don't like it. Of course you don't, but it's for your what? Good. Chloe comes over the house, my little granddaughter. My goodness, that kid, oh, she's like that show they made with that elf. What was his name? The big tall elf? Buddy, yeah. All he wanted to eat was candy, right? You know what Chloe wants? She said, what do you want for dinner on your birthday? Candy. I said, for dinner? Yeah, I want to have candy for dinner. I want to have snack cakes and candy and you know, well, no real food, nothing but candy, all candy. You know, and that's I'm thinking, I don't want to eat dinner with her. I don't want any candy. I want meat and potatoes, right? I want some real food. I don't want candy. But she's hilarious. Cookies and candy. And but you know, say, look, honey, you can't live on cookies and candy. As a child of God, we can't live on cookies and candy. And we can't live on Krispy Kreme donuts. Guess what? We're going to have some difficult things go through to experience. Because we don't grow. You don't grow on Krispy Kreme donuts. You grow on the difficult things. The spinach, the asparagus, the broccoli, the lima beans. But God helps you to be able to get those things in your life. And man, if that's what you got on your plate now, God bless you. But God's going to be there to help you through it. What did you do when your kids, when they were little? You got the fork out and you did what? You got to hold that lima bean, said, open your mouth. You know, here comes the plane, right? Boom. There's that lima. Now chew it up and get a drink of something, right? Cut some of that broccoli up. Here it comes. You know? And man, my grandkids, you ought to see the faces they make when they're, especially Liam and Chloe, when it's time to eat anything real. You know? I remember my kids when they were little, when it was time to eat real food, you know? And you say, but what was the point of that? So they'd grow. And we would help them to get it down. Help them to get past it. Help them to get through it. So that they could go on to something else. Hey, you got some problems? You got some difficulty? Never forget, God has promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. You go home tonight and think, the Lord is going to help me through my situations. And it doesn't matter what your situations are. It really doesn't. The Lord can help you through them. And I'm so thankful that He can. How do you know that, Brother Chris? Because I've been through a few things. And the Lord helped me through it. Anyone who preaches has been through a few things. Brother Doug's been through a few things. And the Lord helped him, what? Through it. Amen. And the Lord's going to help you through it. But the key is not to lose your faith when you're going through it. Let's stand for prayer.